everyone, and welcome to another episode of The World Exists. This one should be appearing on November the 28th, so hopefully it is actually that day as you hear this. Let me let you all know some stuff that folks around the table are doing.
On Monday, December 3rd at 7:30, this is Hillary, and you can check out my show Fibber at Philly Improv Theater, the last one of 2012.
This is TJ. As of the time of this recording, I got nothing. But if you check my Twitter feed at Timothy J. Hurley, I will have shows posted.
Hey, this is Eric Thomas. I am teaching a class with the Greater Philadelphia Cultural Alliance and First Person Arts on storytelling and appreciating moments of art in everyday life. So you can check out First Person Arts, or there'll be also a new set of classes starting the new year. So if you're looking to express yourself Madonna style or otherwise in the new year, check out rericthomas.com.
Hi, this is Jamie Fontaine, and it's entirely possible that this Friday, November 30th, is Toiling in Obscurity 20, but it might also be next Friday, December 7th, because as of the time of this recording, I have not nailed down a date, and I don't know who's performing, but whatever it is, whenever it is, it will happen at the Dive, where I reign supreme.
Okay, and welcome to the World Exists podcast, coming to you every week from the streets of South Philadelphia. This is Brady Dale, and I'm here around the table with...
Hillary Ray.
TJ Hurley.
R. Eric Thomas.
And I just want to give a shout out real quickly to, I should have done this before, I feel bad that I haven't, though it has been on the blog post. I want to give a shout out to the dude who did our opening and closing music. Check out chipocrit.com. The Chipocrit website. He's got a bunch of songs on there, and he has an album up that you can buy, and I encourage you to do so. You can buy it at whatever price you want. It's one of those albums where you just buy it, and if you want to pay him a buck, you want to pay him $10, you want to pay him $100, you can do that, and he'll be thrilled to have it. So thanks a ton to Chipocrit for doing that music for us, and we really appreciate it. It makes our podcast start off with that nice burst of fun. So we dig it. Eric, tell everyone how this thing works.
As usual, we are going to be inviting one of our mitts to tell a story this week. This week, it's Brady Dale. And then we will engage in a roundtable discussion of the topics that are brought up by that story.
And Brady Dale is a cartoonist and very talented storyteller around Philadelphia. You can check out his webcomic at eatthebabies.com. He updates that twice a week. He has a book that's available on the Kindle. It's called Dream Her Back. It is two stories of sci-fi, heartbreak, and romance. And if you would like to see half of that book, a little free preview, you can get it at patiobooks.com and look for Casa del Queso, look for the House of Cheese, and you can get a free free preview of his excellent book. So, Brady, take it away.
The only stories I ever tell are really about people who I've tried to sleep with. But this story is a little different. It sort of is about like the foundation of that larger story, because it's really about someone else trying to sleep with someone. But we'll get to that. But as we lay the foundation, my education in all things romantic and sexual and men and women came, I think, pretty much the same way that everybody else learned about these things, and that was on buses going really long distances with the traveling debate and forensics team.
Oh yeah, very common experience.
Yeah, no, I think that's how most most people learn about these
things. Dr. Ruth, like number one. That's the number one way.
No, I think Dr. Ruth said that she never would have gotten interested in the topics if it wasn't for bus trips.
That's actually how I lost my virginity. So
it's on bus trips with the debate and forensics team.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, good. I clearly wasn't that good of a debater because it took me a lot more bus trips before I finally lost my virginity. But we, that is the topic that we discussed on the bus constantly. And so, you know, I think all people in high school, if they're not having sex, they're talking about sex. And the nice thing about being a debater is we might have been nerds, we might have been socially awkward, but the one thing we had going for us is that we were really articulate. And so we could talk about those things really well. And so one of the games that we like to play, or something that we did that was illuminating for us, is sometimes on the trips, we would take stops at gas stations, wherever, and we would all run in. And we were usually given some money by the coach for, like, you know, food and whatever. So we'd take the money, we'd buy some candy. But sometimes the girls on the squad thought it was fun to just grab a random, like, women's magazine and have us all, like, pass it around and, like, read funny sections from it and stuff like that. And so one time they bought a copy of a Cosmopolitan, and there was a section, like, you know, 50 tricks that you may not have known about to please your man, you know, like that story that's been written 10,000 times.
Every single issue of Cosmopolitan is exactly the same.
True.
A rant by Hillary Ray that I will do another time.
I'm all for you doing it right now, actually.
I don't have it prepared, but that magazine disgusts me.
I read one of those things once, and the one trick to please your man that popped out of my mind was that they suggested you go to the beach and find a smooth, flat stone and then press it to the back of your lover's junk, like when you guys are doing your thing. Just throw rocks at the guy's dick.
Preferably.
Stone him.
Heated by sun, or they talk? They
no, they actually it specified a cool rock.
Cool rock.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That tip was written by an intern who didn't even make it through the summer.
Right.
Yeah.
I've read a really extensive article about ice blowjobs in Cosmo, which
I don't want one.
I don't think anybody does, but it was written in such a compelling way. Like it was probably written by like a political speech writer. Like I was like, yes, I was on fire for ice blowjobs. Like putting ice in your mouth and then giving fellatio.
Oh, I didn't know what that was. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I didn't think it was a thing because that sounds awful. There's chunks of ice in your mouth. But Cosmo is really, I think that's the reason that a lot of people consider women to be crazy. Because it's an insane manifesto for psychotics.
I mean, I want to get back to Brady's story, but I just feel like there are definitely people that subscribe to it and take it seriously, and it is just filled with things that people should never do, and it's so upsetting.
True.
I don't know if my mom actually subscribed to it when I was a kid, but we definitely had copies of it, and I have a feeling some friend of hers was actually the subscriber and would give it to her. But I know when I was really young, like the first naked women I saw was there was some company that always had an ad in the back, because there aren't actual naked women in Cosmo, just like very scantily clad ones.
Diagrams of vaginas, like tons of cartoons of vaginas.
See, I wouldn't even have known at this point. Like okay. This is like me at like 8, so I wouldn't even know what I was. If I saw that, I'd be like, what the hell is that? But I would look through the back, and there was some company, because this was back in the days in the 80s when magazines still had like a bunch of tiny ads in the back, not just, you know, only big full page glossy ads. And there was some company that always had a line drawing of a naked woman in the back, and I knew it. And every issue that came along, I would go looking for that line drawing.
I bought a skateboard once that the graphic on the bottom was just a very simple line drawing of like a pinup, like a naked woman. Mm-hmm. And I was at a skate park and there was a bunch of little kids there like there is. And I picked up my skateboard and one of the little kids like saw the drawing of the naked woman and he walked up to me and he was like, whoa, can I see that? And I was like, check it out, little dude. And then like, he like called over all his little buddies and I had this group of like 7 or 8 like little kids like standing around and me staring at it. And this one kid was like, can I touch it? And I was like, knock yourself out, my man. I like held out my skateboard and him and all his little friends put their hands out. We're like rubbing the line drawing on the bottom of my skateboard. I was like, that's enough, bros. So I made boys men that day.
That would be a good for the last episode, a moment of when you saw something beautiful happen. That
would be good. Worlds colliding. Yeah. TJ and little boys. It was just the beginning. So we had.
Hey, I do what I do.
We had this magazine, and so the girls thought they had this article. And the girl said, oh, it'd be funny if one of the boys would read this article aloud in the back of the bus. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it, of course. So I started reading the article, and it was all kinds of different. I don't remember anything about it, but this one word that I had never seen before, and this had to have been my freshman year in high school, this one word I had never, ever seen before kept coming up. And this is how I read the word, because I pronounced it phonetically. Clitoris. Clitoris, clitoris, clitoris. And I can still see my friends Emily and Carly laughing their asses off as I said clitoris every time. And I didn't care. We were all super tight. Like, there was nothing. There was no. I was like, you're not emasculating me here. We're all fucking debate nerds. I don't care. You know, I was like, I'll keep. They were laughing. I'll keep saying it that way because it'll be funny. But eventually we get to the end of the article and I was like, all right. Clearly, I have no clue what a clitoris is. You know, would you guys tell me? And they told me. They didn't just tell me because it is a little hard to explain, especially if you're a virgin. You've never been anywhere near a vagina. You know, so my friend Emily is helpful of her. She took out a piece of paper and she drew a diagram of, you know, like what a vagina looks like and like where the clit fits in. And that was nice, I think.
And she didn't know that from her own vagina. She knew that from reading Cosmopolitan magazine, probably.
Who does the diagram? Oh, right. I didn't ever make that connection. But yeah, she probably saw those diagrams. So she told me and it was nice. And I bet if I looked hard enough through my papers, I bet I still have that diagram somewhere because I was awesome. I mean, I loved
it. It got you through a lot of rough nights.
An 8-year-old's drawing of a vagina.
No. This is freshman year of high school.
Oh, okay, good. So like a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
wait, so it was a 13-year-old's drawing of an 8-year-old's vagina?
So I learned what a clit was, which was cool. I wouldn't need this information for a while for myself, but I did. So I did end up needing it. So the next phase that this went into is I began to suspect because not that I was a worldly boy, but I read a lot. I knew about things and I was surprised that I didn't know what a clit was even at like 14 years old. So
did you not believe it? Were you like, this is the kind of thing I would know about? Are you sure about this, gals?
Well, no, I believed it, but I was surprised enough that it led to a theory that turned out to be a hypothesis, which I later found to be correct. I had a feeling, just my gut was, that tons of chicks probably didn't know what clits were either. That was my guess. Because if I didn't know, I was like, I bet a bunch of chicks don't know. And so...
Interesting line of thought. I just find that fascinating that this 13-year-old kid is like, if I don't know this, I bet you a lot of women don't know this
and they
about
didn't.
Their own bodies.
Yeah,
no, you're
I would
right.
concur. Yeah.
They didn't. So, like, what was awesome about being so unutterably virginical as I was and would be for many years to come after this, was that, like, I was so innocent that I could talk to anyone about anything. And I can't tell you how many times I heard, you know, up till I was, like, about 22 years old, people saying to me, especially women, I have never told anyone about this before, and I just met you, and I have no idea why I'm telling you this, but, and, like, to, you know, some crazy-ass story, right? So it was a breeze for me to get people to talk about sex and their sex lives and stuff like that. No problem. Like, because I was just so non-threatening, and that was, like, a game. I loved to do it. So if I got a girl talking to me about like having sex with her boyfriend or whatever, at a certain point I'd be like, I would find a way to bring up clits. And again and again, this was like a little like ministry that I had, you know, like again and again, I would find out they were like, what are you talking about? I have no idea. But the closest I came to actually being able to put this into practice was in my circle of friends. We had one dude, we'll call him Adam, who was the only one of us who was getting any action at all. And he was having sex, but he didn't really understand what was going on. And I told Adam about clits and he had no clue. And he kept coming back to me being like, I think I found it this time, but I'm not really sure. Now, how do you say how you found it? And I was like, well, you kind of go anterior. And, you know, we all took biology class, so we knew what anterior was. Anterior means like forward on the body. So like on a cow, right? The nose is anterior and the butt is posterior. So like, you know, on a human, the belly button side is anterior.
I'm good. You know, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be open-minded about this.
Eric was giving me a vague look, so I was just like, oh, anterior.
Hillary. Buy a Cosmo and they'll tell you exactly where
good.
To go.
I don't need any more crazy in my life either. Taking a quiz, finding out if he's the one. Fuck you, Cosmo.
So this was like my little mission. Here's the crazy thing. So you're like, okay, cool, Brady, we believe you that lots of girls in Southeast Kansas didn't know what clitoris was. But I continued on this mission on into college, and I went to Cornell University, which is a pretty big, pretty sophisticated East Coast college, like no joke. And it wasn't as often. I found plenty of girls who did know what clits were, but I found plenty of chicks at Cornell. Go Big Red, you had no idea.
Double entendre.
Not intended, but the mission continues. So I graduate from college, and
What were you getting out of this? Like, what was like, was it like an honest like quest? Were you like, did you have a passion that people know their bodies? Did you just like, was it a creeper thing? Like, what was your angle? Like, what was your motivation?
I mean, of course, I'm going to say it wasn't a creeper thing. It was,
of course,
it was fun. It's a fair question. It always was fun for me to get folks to be comfortable talking to me about things that they probably shouldn't be comfortable talking with to me about. So that was part of it. I loved being able to report later that, like, I've met a 22-year-old who didn't know what a clitoris was. You know, like, that was fun. It fit into the broader scheme of, like, it being fun getting people to open up about things that they shouldn't and talk to me about things that they shouldn't. You know, that was the game. And then I gave helpful information.
My mind is blown that, like, did you ever get punched in the face? Like, or you had seamless transitions from being like, so, while we're talking, like... Do you know where your clitoris is?
Yeah. How did you shoehorn that one into
your decision? Never a problem.
I would like run away if someone offered to buy me a drink at a bar at age 22. Like if someone came up to me and was like, hey, do you know where your clitoris is? Like I would cry.
I'm pretty sure I wish I remembered any of these conversations really specifically, but I'm pretty sure what I would do was I would first get them talking about their sex lives. And then I would probably ask about the frequency of orgasms, which is a pretty...
Again, I would cry. Like, who are you talking to?
I definitely saw this on Criminal Minds. Like, you have a strategy? I would get them talking about their sex lives, and then I would ask them.
And are these strangers or close friends?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I would never do it. Definitely, I would. If I could do it, like, the first night I met you, like, maybe we talk for a long time, but that was always the goal. Like, the earlier, the better.
And you never got punched in the face.
Never even got a hostile reaction because I always knew the right level to go because I'd ease in, I would ease in.
Well, how did you
want to talk about
that? How
sex?
Did you first bring that up? Were you like, that boyfriend, is he, you know, giving it to you? Would you like be all sheepish about it? Like, how would you do it?
And by giving it to you, he's doing something in the anterior. And
doing something in the anterior. I have no idea how I would do it. But it never turned out to be hard. Like I guarantee you I'm not saying I had 100% success rate. I can guarantee you I had conversations where I never successfully turned it to that deep stuff, and that's because it was a person who was guarded. Like I'm sure if I'd tried to do this with Hillary when she was 22 years old, I would have like done a couple of my I would have tried to sink a couple of my little bobbers out there, and she'd have just started talking about playing mini golf, and I would have been like, all right, this isn't, I'm not gonna get it done tonight.
Damn it, how did you know that I liked mini golf? So easy to read.
So I'm not saying I got it done every time, but I got it done often enough, you know? And it was, I think also in sort of to help understand it, you know, everyone around the table is kind of either in their fairly mid-20s or later. It's easy to forget how insanely open we all were in college in those early, early 20s. TJ never was, right? I mean, he's shaking his head right now. It's like, nope, never wanted to know about anybody's sex life. I'm pretty sure nobody ever had sex, ever. And that's how I know.
I was a Puritan in college. I'm much more open now. But I appreciate your point. But I was closed up like a vagina, like locked at the knees.
I also think there's a lot of people who really want to talk about their sex lives and like, but they don't feel safe doing it around almost anyone. And I was so unbelievably innocent seeming, you know. And I was effectively pretty innocent. Like, I wasn't innocent in that I did have this sort of, like, I want to manipulate you into telling me your secret sort of thing.
That's not innocent.
It's not innocent, but it's, like, in terms of maliciousness, like, it's not that, you know, dicey. And you could trust me with them. I wasn't going to, like, go spread it all over town.
No,
so.
when people interpret you as harmless, they're very free with what they say to you.
Yeah. And I really had that going for me back then. So
did you say aw shucks a lot?
I do love to drop y'alls all the time, and people think that is a thing people say in Kansas, and nobody says that in Kansas. It's a complete affectation on my part, and y'all. On purpose.
I have two thoughts. One being that it's fascinating that people saw you as innocent and thereby wanted to talk about the interior of their sex lives. Mm-hmm. Like I find that a fascinating.
The anterior.
The anterior of their posterior. but two, I will say though that having a sort of like open, like wide-eyed y'all type demeanor will get you a lot of places. My best friend has a West Virginian accent, and he lays it on pretty heavy sometimes. And people just say stuff to him, and he'll repeat it back to you, and you're like, "Yeah, that sounds normal." And you're like, "Wait a minute, I'm talking about like, you know, like fisting or something crazy, but because it sounds like you're talking about Apple Pie Festival or something, it's innocent.
Yeah, now that you've put it into the context of y'all know about your clitoris, right. I would have totally opened up to you in about 5 seconds.
So I graduate from college and I'm still kind of playing this game, and it, around the point in this where the story comes up, I meet this dude, and how he and I met is a mildly funny story in and of itself. I'll just give a quick summary of it. So he's my best friend. He's still my best friend to this day. We met because we both went to the same gym in Washington, D.C., and we were both would wear Cornell shorts to the gym. And so, and I could tell he's about my age. And so I would always talk to him, and we would talk for a long time every day at the gym, and like we'd chat, and we got along really well. And I was desperate for friends. And so I was always trying to get him to hang out with me. And I was like, oh, we should get together. We should get drinks, like whatever. And he was always really guarded about it. And it was because, like, we were probably the only two straight guys in the entire gym. And he got hit on constantly. And he was sure that I was, like, the latest dude hitting on him. And I was hitting on him, but just for a bestie. but it did, and we eventually became besties, and it worked out. And it was great. But so come to find out, we're going to call this guy Jeremy. Come to find out eventually, because Jeremy was super open in this way that I was. I think also another thing that helped me is that I would answer any question you wanted me to answer about my life. It's just there wasn't much to tell, but I wouldn't hide anything. So he was super open too. Eventually, I came to find out that and this guy was a really good looking dude, and he was smart, and he was together, and he came off really well. But he was a virgin, and that was like surprising. And I was just barely not a virgin at this point, but just barely like close enough that I probably really still kind of was
like I feel like that's a column A column B thing, like
half virgin.
Yeah, I mean, was it
unless
like
you invented it,
was it like third base with a little bit more?
No, I mean, no, I was, if you want to get totally pure about it, I'm just saying it was like basically I think it was sort of a one and done kind of situation, and like the age I was at,
consistently having
probably sex. Yeah, right, like it was, they're just, I was as unvirgin, as barely virgin as you could be and still not be virgin, right?
So understood. You pass.
Yeah. So, but I did like, I still was like worldly to this dude because I still knew women better than him because I just knew more of them, because he also weirdly was like at this time kind of a hermit. He's now, if you met him now, you wouldn't even believe that had ever been a period in his life, right? Like, I mean, he's the kind of guy who can walk into a party now and just own the whole room. But at that time, that's not what he was like. So we became friends because we all played Ultimate together. And
what's Ultimate?
Ultimate Frisbee?
Oh, damn it. Yeah. forget I asked.
They were virgins, remember?
is that like geeks in tuxedos, like people who
that's
play
rough,
Ultimate?
Man.
It's just that you said it without any sort of frame of reference. Like, we would all know what that meant.
I thought Ultimate had become a name for a fairly widely known sport now. No.
For virgins.
Yeah, it's where you throw a disc around. And it's
Frisbee golf.
No, but it's like football.
That's what cool guys call it.
No, it's not frisbee golf at all. It's like football, only with a disc.
Huh.
No tackling. Well, anyway, whatever. So this is it. We played this field sport that involved a great deal of running and throwing together. And the crew of dudes who played this field sport together are still kind of like my best circle of friends to this day. And it was a very high virgin concentration. And I think one of the things which held us all together is there was this one incredibly hot girl who played with us every Sunday. And we'll call her Rachel. And we all knew that there had to be some reason other than Ultimate that Rachel was playing with us, because it just didn't make sense for her to keep playing with us. But she did. And so as Jeremy and I became tighter and tighter, we decided we wanted the Ultimate crew to start all hanging out together, because we wanted to get Rachel out. And so we started going out. We started hanging out. I went through my leather pants wearing phase, which was fun for everybody. And And along the
nothing
way
says ready to not be a virgin anymore, like wearing leather pants in public.
And the fact that it was a phase. Like, how many pairs of leather pants did you have?
I only had one, only lasted one pair's worth. I mean, do you think I should still be wearing them? Is that what you're saying?
No, I just mean, like, did you wear them every day? Like, what constituted it as a phase?
Oh,
like,
it was just, no, there was the time in which I was known for wearing really flamboyant clothes. And it worked well for me in my early 20s.
Cool.
Yeah, that's all. It was
when the Gap had their Everyone in Leather campaign?
No, I bought it. I didn't buy it at a cool place. I bought it at a Wilson's Leather. That's okay. Where I bought them from. But
oh,
I don't know.
God, I'm amazed by that. I mean, I went through a silver vinyl pants wearing phase.
Yeah.
But again, we're very different people.
I had a lot of, I mean, the leather pants were just the one everyone knew. I had some like really like glistening red pants. I had a bunch of like insanely tight like vintage pants with bright. Like they were, yeah.
And this went well for you. This helped you get.
It's insane to think back on it, but yeah, it did. It went. I know. I would.
I'm giving you a swirly when this podcast is over. I'm going to bully the shit out of you as soon as hit stop.
Yeah, I couldn't have possibly dressed in a way that said I'm not interested in women at all more, and it went well. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or anything. So I'm just going to leave it there. But it didn't.
So you're wearing leather pants, you're swimming in Tang. Continue.
So we're all hanging out. So eventually it turns out that Jeremy and Rachel, it turns out that Jeremy is the reason Rachel is playing Ultimate with us, right? Like she digs Jeremy and us all going out. There's a few other funny twists and turns along the way that I'll skip, but whatever. They start dating. And so that's cool for them. It's awesome. We're all playing Ultimate. We're having a good time. And I actually, right around then, start dating a girl, and so I have my first like serious relationship. And it turns out that one of the other things which make Jeremy and I kindred spirits is Jeremy has also been playing this same game of trying to get people who he talks to open up and tell him crazy amounts of stuff, and is pretty good at it too. And at least in that period, this is no longer true, but in those years, as good as either Jeremy or I were at doing it separately, together we were virtually unstoppable. Like, if someone was willing to, like, start talking to us, it was like, oh, they'll be crying before this is over. Like, we're going to learn about Jeremy.
Why isn't this the podcast you're doing? Like, that, I would listen to the hell of that podcast.
We can't do it anymore. We can't do it anymore. And how do we get people to agree, like, strangers in the street, come into this room and just talk to us. I can't really tell you what's going to happen, but it'll be great. We'll change your names.
It's like a really weird form of double teaming something.
Right. It's
so
terrible.
Crazy. Like
Hillary's coming to hate me more and more.
No, I'm just, my mind is just being blown. It's great.
So,
just my mind is being blown.
So, the bigger picture of all this is a part of why Jeremy and I are both good at this is we're both also totally open, right? And it comes to pass that as we move forward in our relationships with these two respective women, we tell each other everything. So, and because Jeremy is the way he is, it takes him forever to finally sleep with Rachel, and Rachel doesn't like it. And because our whole network is the way it is, this is an open secret to all of us. Well, it's not even a secret. I mean, Rachel just be like, Brady, why the fuck won't he have sex with me? This is ridiculous. It's been like 6 months. What the fuck is the problem? And he'd be like, you just have to understand. Like, no, could you talk to him seriously? So, getting back to clitorises, as I'm encouraging Jeremy to finally start moving down that road, we have a lot of important talks, and this may be the last time that I did a meaningful effort at educating another human being about clitorises before they enter into the unknown.
You've educated me. I've learned in this podcast that I never want to hear you say the word clitoris again.
You keep vetoing things I can talk about, DJ. Eventually, I'll just be sitting here silently. DJ won't let me talk about anything. DJ's like, exactly. Now that is exactly the plan. And then he'll start shutting everyone else down. It'll just be the TJ show. All right. So, proceeding on to the close of this story. One of the things which is fun for any girl who's dating Jeremy or I at this point in our lives is, whether we tell them this or not, eventually, if they have any brains in their head at all, they'll realize that nothing is going to pass in my life or Jeremy's life that the other one isn't going to know about. That is just a guaranteed truth that, you know, whatever meaningful experience that you and this significant other have, within 24 hours, this other dude is gonna hear about, and it's gonna hear a more honest take on it than the one that you're gonna get, even though you were there for the experience to happen, right? So that's gotta be a good time for them, for both Rachel and the woman in my life at the time. So, and the greatest moment of that, and my favorite piece of my favorite example of that happening is, they've been together for a while. You know, their sex lives are, you know, going bangingly. And they go on a road trip across the country because Rachel's moving to L.A. And they stopped in Las Vegas. And one of the images I always remember from that part of the story is Jeremy would tell about all the people who would try to, all the prostitutes who would try to get him to, you know, would solicit him, even though Rachel was right there next to him. And he would be like, do you see how hot my girlfriend is? Why would I care? And but, you know, I was like, Jeremy, I bet people still do that, you know. And he was like, oh, it's crazy. So they were in this hotel in Vegas, and at this point, you know, Jeremy was pretty solid on what a clitoris was. And so they're in a hotel room, and he's going down on her, and she's holding on to the headboard behind the bed. And you know, it's like, it's one of those headboards that's attached to the wall. And she and she's like this tiny, skinny waif of a girl, right? But it, you know, Jeremy's awareness of clits is strong enough at this point. He does a really amazing job. And while it's going, she gets so into it that this girl with arms like much smaller than my wrists rips the headboard off the wall, right? Which is amazing in and of itself, right? And of course, Jeremy is giving himself a gigantic pat on the back. But the first thing she says to him after they're both through going through sort of the emotional reaction to what just happened is, so how long until you tell Brady about this? And clearly she did. He did.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I just feel like every time I come into this podcast, I get violated in some way. and it's nice. Thank you. But you know, like the clitoris, I just feel like, you know, as somebody who's literally like never seen like a vagina, like in, you know, spitting range, it is this mysterious thing, and I don't know whether that's cultural or whether it's sort of like, is it super complicated? I feel like it's a button and you just like look at it and like there's a thing, but I don't know, I can't conceive of something thing like that, and it makes me kind of nervous. So I'm again sort of curious, and I might actually look in the back of a Cosmo and see if I can find some pictures.
It's on every page. It's like a flip book at the bottom with the page numbers.
Like an arrow, like this is the clitoris. Mm. Clitoris.
So do folks want to sort of talk about how best friends have been important to them over the course of their lives up to now? Because I talked about mine.
Yeah. Do you mind, guys, mind if I go?
That's fine.
The story I'm telling in 2 weeks is kind of about the two best friends I had in Philly when I first got here. But right now, like my best friend in the world is my friend Jake. And like, as much as I was sort of horrified by the amount of stuff that you and your friend Jeremy share with each other, like that's totally the relationship that we have. Like we'll go to coffee, like sitting in a coffee shop, talking about like other, you know, people we've dated's penis size. Sorry, everybody. And like the things we like and don't like. And then like, and then it gets, he was in this one relationship that like physically was kind of different for him, but there was a great emotional connection. And so we'll go from, you know, I think he's just turned 28. I'm 31. So, you know, we're at that point where we're like, we can be like, oh, yeah, dudes. And then be like, but my heart hurts. And it's like this weird, like, bridge between, like, being, like, actual human beings and, like, 14-year-old boys, like, looking at the back of a magazine. But, you know, gay version of that.
Yeah, similarly, like, I've had a lot of my closest friends I've had since, like, preschool or elementary school or high school, but I'm still in touch with them and don't see them as often. But when I do, it's neat to, like, I don't recall our friendship as kids, like being open with each other. Like even in high school, like I was not an open person. It's a big surprise. And But now, like, it's really cool. Like, I just had a conversation with someone I've known since I was 14, and it was like the most open, honest conversation that I've ever had with any friend at all. And it like felt really great to still have that connection with someone and see like how it evolved.
I feel like I've been really, really lucky throughout my, you know, young life and into my adult life that I feel like I've had really, really good friends that have taken care of me, you know, in a million different situations. And I think that when I think about like best friends and the best friends that I have and how long I've known them, I feel like it becomes like, I think about what my relationship is like with these people who I've known now for maybe like, let's say 15 years and how deep it is and how, just how, and what a powerful way we understand each other. And then that's one, actually this weird key that makes me not bummed out about aging. Cause I think about like, well, I've known this person for 15 years and our relationship is so complex in a really good way and so meaningful and so rich. And I'm like, I'm going to know this guy when I'm like 60. Like, they'll be like, I love this person so much now and I'm going to know them. I'll have known them for like 40 or 50 years. And that thought of having those friends for that period of time and the depths of those relationships is one of the big things that makes getting older like not a bummer. I feel like it just keeps, it's just a thing that just keeps getting better and better and better as you go along. And I feel like as long as you're not a shitty person and don't burn people out and, you know, don't abuse people, if you treat people right, like those relationships just keep growing and giving and giving.
So as we come towards the close, if folks out there are listening and feel so inclined to do so, I think it would be awesome if folks wanted to write in the comments about their best friends or just friendship in general, and especially if there was something like, you know, maybe something that they never quite felt ready to say about a friendship but wanted to, like, get it written down and, you know, don't have to use any names or whatever, but, like, you know who you're talking about. That would be an awesome thing to do. So go to theworldexists.com and do that if you feel so inclined. And if you don't, you can just say this podcast is awesome on iTunes. That's cool, too. Today, we have been here with me, Brady Dale, at Brady Dale on Twitter. Our Eric Thomas, our Eric on Twitter. Timothy J. TJ Hurley, at Timothy J. Hurley on Twitter. And last but definitely not least, Hillary Ray, at Crush Comedy online as well. Be sure to join us in 1 week when it will be December, I think, which, wow. That's crazy. And just to make sure that you come back, here is something that you will get to hear more about if you tune in next time.
So Hot Screech had this huge camera and he was taking pictures of like the whole goings on of this audition. But at one point during my conversation with Jack, I could feel his lens zooming in on the two of us. And in normal times, I'd be like, paparazzi, go away. But at this moment, I was like, go on, keep taking pictures, because this is the first of many memories.